In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A few years ago, a woman from Russia came into the church. It was a weekday, and she asked to see a priest. It's a fairly common occurrence. Someone comes in off the street making this request. So I sat down with her for what was essentially an impromptu pastoral care session. She had come from Russia, leaving her very young daughter behind so that she could make money in the United States to send home, or perhaps bring her daughter here. It had been over 7 years. Her daughter was 11, and that plan had not worked out so well. But her faith was strong. We prayed together, and she continued to come around. I'd see her sitting in the church, quietly praying, lighting a candle, or worshiping at one of our weekday services of Holy Eucharist. Then one day, she asked if I would baptize her. The thing is, she had already been baptized, and Episcopalians believe that once is enough. Once you are initiated into the body of Christ through water and the Holy Spirit, that's it. As the Nicene Creed states, we believe in one baptism for the remission of sins. Her response was, yes, but maybe it will be different because the prayers are in English. We came up with a different solution, specifically having her make a reaffirmation of baptismal vows when the bishop came for confirmation Sunday. But I was struck by her insistence that prayers in English were somehow more efficacious than prayers in Russian. I wasn't able to convince her otherwise. Trevor Noah, whom you may know as the host of The Daily Show, writes a similar thing about his grandmother in his book, Born a Crime: Stories from a South African Childhood. At home, the family spoke in a native South African tongue, but when it came time to pray, they prayed in English. Trevor's grandmother would ask him to pray because his English was the best in the family. The Bible is in English, she told him, so English prayers get answered first. I was reminded of my Russian friend when I read these words, and I imagined how Trevor's grandmother might have come to that conclusion. She first heard the Bible in English. She saw white English-speaking people living comfortable lives without the curfew or travel restrictions that she and other black South Africans face. She prayed, certainly, but God must have been busy answering English prayers first. Of course, we know that the Bible was not written in English, and God was hearing prayers long before English was invented. But I wonder if we have carried on that hurtful assumption held by Trevor Noah's grandmother. Have we been saying God bless America for so long that we've forgotten that God blesses other nations too? God addresses this question with the story of Pentecost. God checks our pride and our limited world view with a bit of drama. The drama is that of the Holy Spirit being poured out among the disciples and changing them from a tiny band of Jesus followers into apostles on fire with the love of God, launched into the world to announce the good news of new life made possible through Jesus's death and resurrection. It's the beginning of the church. It's why we sometimes call today the birthday of the church. And because of that day, we are here, you and me. We are here because the church burst through the boundaries of first century Israel and began to include people of different languages and cultures and experiences. Our reading from Acts states that the apostles, all from Galilee, started speaking in at least 15 different languages. You add up all the regions listed in that passage of scripture, and it's 15. So that Jews who had come to Jerusalem from all of these places heard the gospel in their native tongue. And soon not only Jews, but Gentiles too. As the gospel spread and it became clear that all people are welcome to follow Jesus, and there is nothing to prevent someone from being baptized. All people have a direct connection to God. God hears and understands everyone's prayers. However, that truth is not the miracle of Pentecost. The miracle of Pentecost is when we hear and understand one another. We live in a globalized world and are very much interconnected. The COVID pandemic, with the rampant spread of a tiny virus, has made our interconnectedness quite clear. Yet we have trouble connecting with each other right here at home. We are rich in diversity, which is something to celebrate, but we are also rich in division, which is something to lament. Recently, I had the opportunity to watch a film called American Creed. It's a documentary from 2018 that originally aired on PBS. And it includes a series of vignettes about all kinds of peoples and cultures throughout our nation. One of the many vignettes in this film is about the founder of MoveOn.org sitting down with the founder of the Tea Party, simply to find common ground as Americans. If you are unfamiliar with either of these organizations, MoveOn is a progressive public policy advocacy group. The Tea Party, at the time, was a fiscally conservative political movement within the Republican Party. It turns out that the creators of MoveOn and the Tea Party found much common ground on many social issues. The way they discovered this was basically twofold. One, they became friends first, getting to know one another and listening with heartfelt interest and empathy. Second, they were very careful with their language. As the woman from MoveOn said, a conversation about climate change might need to be framed as a conversation about conserving energy, because climate change is seen as a progressive issue. The man from the Tea Party made a similar statement. If I say states' rights, there's baggage that comes with that, he said. But if I say I believe in community governance, I'm using different language that allows us to come together in dialogue. Of course, there are some things that these two people are so far apart on that it creates discomfort between them. Yet they can still be in relationship. Their conversation and the example they set are ultimately about our ability to converse and come together as a nation. The narrators of the film, Condoleezza Rice and David Kennedy, claim that society cannot come together or hold together without a common aspirational story. The American dream is no longer that story, if it ever really was. It's more of a myth as my friend from Russia discovered firsthand. So can we find a new aspirational story to share? One that both Move On and the Tea Party could claim, for example. Now, I'm not a theocrat, and I am a staunch believer in the separation of church and state. But I also believe that the church is here to have an impact on the world. Church in Greek is ecclesia, and it means the gathered community. As the church, maybe we have something to offer a society that is atomizing, that is losing its identity, that is ungathering. And maybe we have something to offer ourselves in creating a space for important and sometimes difficult conversations about our human, American, and Christian identities, among others. Language matters, and we have the language of faith. Do you want to connect with a fellow Christian with different political views from your own? Know your Bible. Appeal to it as a common source of authority. Appeal to the life and teachings of Jesus, and appeal to the goodness and the grace and the love of God that is in and for each one of us. As Christians, we all fall at the foot of the cross, and that is the start of our common ground. Do you want to connect with someone across the aisle who is not a Christian? Still, ground your beliefs in your faith. Our Christian identity should inform everything about us, every view we hold, every action we take, the way we treat other people, and the way we treat ourselves. When we can speak to the faith that animates our life and do so in a way that is loving, it aids in understanding. It lets the other person know where we're coming from. In a moment, we will renew our baptismal vows. We will proclaim what we believe as Christians, what we are about as Christians, and what we commit to do as Christians. Keep the faith, repent when we're wrong, serve others, respect the dignity of everyone, strive for justice. Use the language of faith as you carry out these vows, and listen for the faith of others. Listen for your neighbor's prayers. What would their prayers sound like? And what heartfelt concern does God hear behind them? Understanding may not lead to agreement, but it can lead to empathy and relationship and community. And the Holy Spirit, the great unifier of humanity and the midwife of the church, will grant us grace to see each other as one. Amen.